The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Maybe some of you remember the late George Carlin. He had an irreverent and outrageous routine called, maybe some of you have seen it, it's out there on YouTube in various versions, called Stuff. I want to share that routine with you this morning. Now, I promise you, I have edited out his profanities, because if you have ever watched a George Carlin routine, you know it can get pretty raw. But this is appropriately edited for a family audience. But nevertheless, as great comedians do, he has a very insightful, almost prophetic understanding of the ordinary. "Sorry I was late. I was in the wrong dressing room. Gotta have a dressing room because I gotta have a place for my stuff. That's all, a little place for my stuff. That's all I want. You know, that's all you need in life, a little place for your stuff. You know, that's all your house is, a place to keep your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. You know, a house is just a little pile of stuff with a cover on it. You can see that when you're taking off in an airplane. You look down and you see everybody's got one little pile of stuff. All the little piles of stuff covering the ground. And when you leave your home, you gotta lock it up. Wouldn't want anyone to come and take some of your stuff. You know, and when they do, they always take the good stuff. They never bother with that junk you're saving. They don't want your fourth grade math papers. All they want is the shiny stuff. That's what your house is, a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. And sometimes you move and you gotta get a bigger house. Why? Because you need more room for your stuff. You move and you gotta put your stuff in storage. Oh, there's a whole industry dedicated to watching over your stuff. Now, did you ever notice when you go to somebody else's house and you never feel quite 100% at home? You know why? There's no room for your stuff. Somebody else's stuff is all over the place. And if you stay overnight, unexpectedly, They give you a little bedroom to sleep in, a bedroom they haven't used in 11 years. Someone died in it 11 years ago, and they haven't moved any of his stuff. And right next to the bed, there's usually a dresser or a bureau of some kind, and there's no room for your stuff on it. Somebody else's stuff is on the dresser. And have you noticed that their stuff is junk, and your junk is stuff? And you say, oh, get that junk off of here, and let me put my stuff down. Now, sometimes you leave your house to go on vacation, and you got to take some of your stuff with you. You got to take about two big suitcases full of stuff when you go on vacation. You know, you're just taking a smaller version of your house. It's the second version of your stuff. And you're going to fly all the way to Honolulu. And you get down to the hotel room in Honolulu, and you open up your suitcase, and you put away all your stuff. Oh, here's a place for stuff. And you put here a little bit of your stuff there, and you put more stuff over here. And look, there's another place for stuff. Oh, we got more room for stuff. Oh, we gotta go out. We can't have this. We gotta go and buy more stuff. Yeah, George Carlin. Interesting view on life. In today's gospel, we see a collision of two worlds. In one world, there's never enough stuff. Everyone is afraid of losing what he has. Everyone must have more and more. Everyone must accumulate, just like George Carlin describes in his humorous routine, accumulate and hoard and grab and compete with a passion that betrays its haunting source, a fear that one day we will not have enough stuff. In the other world, there is always more than enough stuff. There is plenty, abundance, more than enough to go around. People are generous and charitable. In that world, Ebenezer Scrooge is no longer stingy, but he buys the big turkey for Tiny Tim and gives Bob Cratchit a raise and wishes everyone a Merry Christmas. These two worlds collide in today's gospel. A man comes to Jesus with an urgent request. He's bitter about a family dispute over inheritance. His brother got the family farm when it was rightly his. He had been gypped. He had not received what justly belonged to him. Anxious and angry, he is afraid of not having enough. And he turns to Jesus for help. But Jesus isn't interested in being a probate judge. He has not come to adjudicate disputes and work for justice in a world where there is never enough. He does not buy into those values and assumptions. Instead, Jesus exposes the deadly consequences of living in that kind of world. He offers a different kind of world, a world of abundance and plenty where there is always more than enough to go around. Jesus says, take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions or the stuff in your house. It is as if Jesus is saying to this man, okay, if you really want to live in a world where there's never enough, if you are committed to a life where accumulating the most toys wins, if that is what you fear, love, and trust the most above anything else, then let me show you the results. Let me show you the deadly consequences of green. So Jesus tells the man a little story. We call it a parable. There was an incredibly successful businessman. He knew how to run to run a business and make lots of money. He had lots of stuff. He knew how to make a buck. In fact, it kept him working for greater and greater investment and innovation. But despite his success, deep down he was still afraid of losing what he had earned. He was afraid of not having enough. His hunger for peace and security, and dare we say it, the approval of God, was insatiable. So, what did he do? He built more, bigger, and better barns in which to store his crops, all his stuff. Determined to silence the fear of scarcity, his money grew and grew, and he got more and more, and he got richer and richer. And finally, one day, he looked back and admired all that he had accumulated, and he thought to himself, "Oh, I think I have finally arrived. Finally, I have enough. I'm at last safe and secure." So he decides to have a party to celebrate his success. The problem is that he has accumulated so much and is so rich that he's all alone. There doesn't seem to be anyone nearby or around or left to invite to his party. You know, greed has a way of making life very lonely. It looks like he has put all of his neighbors out of business. "Well, no matter," he says. "So, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Now, if this isn't a picture of our society, I don't know what is. We are bombarded with messages that we can never be happy unless we have enough stuff. And of course, we can never have enough stuff, because there is always someone else who has more stuff. And it creates fears and jealousies and suspicions that oftentimes erupt in the kind of violence we see afflicting our society this past week. Just when we thought we were safe and secure, just like this guy in the story, the shoe drops, the door slams, our number is up. Our name appears on the obituary page. God comes and says to us, "You fools, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, I mean, whose will they be?" We thought we were being smart in a world where there is never enough stuff. But as today's first reading from Ecclesiastes reminds us, all is vanity. We are fools for thinking it could be any different in the end. For none of it matters. As they say, you can't take it with you. All that stuff for which we slave to accumulate is left behind to some undeserving cousin. When we choose to live in that kind of world where there is never enough stuff, that is the world we get. It is as if Jesus is telling us, if this is what you want, if this is the foundation of your life, then that is what I will give you. You will never have enough stuff. You will never be at peace. You will never be satisfied. You will never be able to share and be generous. What you really want is life without me. So that is what I will give you. Life that is increasingly isolated, lonely, and finally, without me, dead. So much for living in a world where we believe that there can never be enough. But Jesus has come in to usher a new world, a world filled with abundance, where there is always more than enough. And Jesus points to that other world in the last few words of today's gospel when he speaks of being rich toward God. It is in this other world, this world of what we call the kingdom of God, where there is always enough, where we are rich towards God. Jesus lives his life on a collision course with a world where there is never enough. Time and time again, he overcomes scarcity with abundance. Remember, water is turned into wine and a wedding is rescued from disaster. 5,000 hungry people are fed with a few loaves of bread and fish and their 12 baskets of leftovers. And when the disciples go fishing with Jesus, there is such a huge catch that the boat begins to sink. But the protectors of the old order, those who have built their lives and their empires based on everyone else's fear of scarcity, could not bear to see what Jesus was doing. Jesus' reckless generosity in the name of God was blasphemy. It undermined the very justice of God, which protected a world in which there was only so much to go around. I mean, debts had to be paid. Obligations must be met. Wrongs must be righted. God wants it that way. Therefore, in the name of God, Jesus had to die. And he did die on that fateful Friday. And it looked as though Jesus' promise of that new world where there was always more than enough was just another cruel lie. And God knows how our lives are so filled with them already. But, and there's always a but to Jesus' story, but on the third day the Father raised him from the dead. Why? Because Jesus had told the truth. Because God keeps God's promises. Because God can be trusted. Because God's generosity will never run out. Therefore, there is a new world with an alternative economy. Here, there is no need to fear not having enough stuff. Here, there is more than enough for everyone. Here, our future is safe in the hands of God. Here, there is no need to hoard. Here, we can generously share our bounty with those who do not have enough. It is the mission of this congregation, Our Savior Lutheran Church, to connect this fearful, starving, and desperate world with the abundant world of the kingdom of God. In a world where everything is for sale, where the bottom line is the last word, where you've always got to be careful not to lose what you have, we, crazy Christians, live our lives unafraid of these threats. A small piece of bread and a sip of wine are a feast. A brief dip in the water of the font gives us a new lease on life. Connected in an economy where the love never runs out, sins are forgiven without fear that these sins are so monstrous that there can never be enough forgiveness to cover them. Because there always is in a world where there is more than enough. And so we find ourselves charitably giving our money and time without fear so that there may not be a fear so that there might not without fear that there's not enough to go around. And we live our life honestly facing a world filled with violence where everyone is afraid that there's not going to be enough. Such is the crazy world of the kingdom of God and its incredible economy of abundance, where generosity is a way of life, because in this world there is always more than enough stuff. Amen.